It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And just in time for our Twitch viewers, it is Fluffy Sweater Edition. Ray and I are both in our fleece jackets because it's freezing outside. So we're nice and warm at our studio, hanging out with you. So thanks for being cozy. Marshall's got the Sherpa with us. And I know we've had so much fun with the villainry and the WWE type storylines and the NASCAR type storylines that come with the rivalry of now not only Bears Packers but Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur. Now we flip the script quite a bit when you consider the best offense in the league is coming to town and Sean McVay and the Rams and Matt Stafford and his crew, and the vibes are much different coming on after the Packers. This is quite the game recognizes game type discussion that's going on between the Bears and the Rams head coaches.
Basically, these head coaches have said, game recognized game, you look real familiar to me right now.
That's it. Sean McVay and I feel like Kyle Shanahan, those are two of the architects of modern NFL offense. And while people can remix those and they can add their own steps to it, you know, the concept of, for example, John Shoup inspiring Ben Johnson, making the same things look different and different things look the same, that is very much a Sean McVay principle as well. So this is Ben Johnson on Monday talking about the Rams head coach.
I think it's hard to gauge who's best and who's worst when it comes to the coaching sometimes, but there's no question about it. He is on the upper echelon. He does a phenomenal job. He has ever since he got to L.A. All of his teams are really well prepared. There's no doubt that he's super sharp in the offensive side, but I think how he does it as a head coach, bringing all three phases together is really critical to their success. I think he does a great job. Knows how to speak to the team with the pulse of the team and get the most out of them. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they're in it damn near every year since he's been there.
So when you hear that is admiration and respect. One of the times where I thought Ben Johnson during the season, you could tell how much he really likes certain individuals, certain players, was when you heard him talk about Dak Prescott going into the Cowboys game and what made him so good. That let me know what Ben Johnson really likes in a quarterback. And we are still learning about him in this first season for him as a head coach, even though we're in the playoffs. So to see Ben Johnson talk about Sean McVay that way lets you know what he values about his system and how he puts all of this together.
You know what he values? Above all else, points. And the Rams had the highest scoring offense in the NFL. And if you go back to last season, you know whose offense was the highest scoring in the NFL? Ben Johnson's as the offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions. And clearly, he's not quite there yet with this group, especially considering how they started the season. But the progress has come in. And if you look at just, let's say, last week, right? The only team that had more total offense than the Los Angeles Rams was the Chicago Bears. And they were the top two scoring teams in the wild card round. So that sets up really this chess match between two of the brightest and youngest minds when you talk about play calling on offense against two defenses that have things they do well, but also have some holes in them, if you will.
Are you kidding me? Two defenses that have holes in them. You don't say.
I'm just saying.
We might have to prepare for a very special episode of Pac-12 After Dark again, Sunday night over at Soldier Field. This might look a lot similar to what we saw out of the 49ers game.
Yeah, and I think Bears fans understand that. I think they have really attached themselves to this idea that we may not be able to stop you, but doggone it, we can run with you. And even the loss to the Niners that you just referenced, I think that's why Bears fans felt so good. I feel like that's the best Bears fans felt after a loss all season long. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, it showed a lot of progress. When you're able to run with the 49ers and that quality, and frankly, the quality of that division, which is where the majority of the Rams' losses came from, then that gives you an indication. But getting back to the topic at hand when it comes to the game recognizes game aspect of this, Sean McVay also, and he's no stranger to talking about other teams, and you know, he's gone viral in the way he can rattle off every single player's name and what they do well, and that's gone viral before, as we've seen. So he was also asked about what he's seen out of Ben Johnson as a play-calling head coach.
I think he does a great job. You know, I've studied him really closely from when he took over and started doing it in Detroit, and I think the guys that do the best job are the ones that you can see there's a true understanding of, you know, what defenses are doing and an intent to try to be able to manipulate a lot of the rules and the coaching points and to really try to attack your front mechanics, your coverage contours, understand some of the percentages of what you're doing situationally, and then being able to maximize his player skill sets. I mean, you can see there's a philosophy and a core beliefs in terms of how he wants to build it. You know, you look at the free agents they signed, you look at the guys that they drafted high up, you know, taking the tight end and a lot of the instances where he was able to take advantage of Laporta in Detroit. But I think what shows his flexibility is the ability to have one of the best offenses, you know, with a player like Jared, who's really special, and then being able to have, you know, some similar foundational principles with Caleb, but also be able to accentuate the things that make him really unique with the athleticism, the ability to move the spot and then take advantage of their skill around it. So he does a damn good job. I think he's got a timely feel for when to be able to mix in some things like he did with the screen and go that allowed them to take the lead the other day. But we're excited about these challenges. This is what it's about. And, you know, here we go.
So when we hear that, it's obvious he's not calling plays for Sam Laporta and company anymore. Tyler Buterbaugh with the deep dive on that one. Tyler, where did you find that play clip?
So that one I found... As far as I went through the Rams YouTube page and was listening to that, and it was like one of the first questions that they asked McVay about that, and I just thought it was just from two mastermind offensive play callers. Like, this is just a great duel of between the two of these head coaches.
No, it's true, and frankly, the branches of the trees overlap, right? When you consider the Shanahan coaching tree goes back to Mike, the dad of Kyle, obviously. And then this is like the latest of the branches when you consider Sean McVay, frankly, Matt LaFleur, you know, and how this modern offense has now taken place. For all of the coaching tree discussion that we've done, especially when you're looking for candidates and you consider how McVay came into the league, he was hired in his early 30s, right? Wasn't he 33 when he got hired to be the head coach?
It was a shocking thing. They were like, this guy's way too young to be a head coach, except immediately he proved he was not.
And not just that, but we thought that when they had their first wave of success, maybe McVay would move on. That hasn't been the case. And that tree keeps giving. You know, former Sean McVay assistants in no particular order include Matt LaFleur, Joe Barry, Ejiro Rivero, Jed Fish, Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips, Brandon Staley, and that name should sound familiar here because he was a part of the Bears staff at one point on the defense, Zach Taylor, and yes, Shane Waldron. But when you have a tree that is at least that successful, where you have that many people into it, it just goes to show, even shaping the NFC North, that's a part of what he has done. So it would make sense that Ben Johnson recognizes that. If you have eyes and watch football, you recognize the success of these systems in the NFL for sure. And then you understand how it plays out in the league.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
With a guy like him who was 32 when he won the NFC and went to the Super Bowl for the first time as a head coach, got his start at age 31 as the head coach of the Rams, you have to acknowledge that the tree there is giving all kinds of fruit, so much so that even if you get maybe a rotten piece of fruit every now and again, everybody's willing to taste it because they see the success that's coming off that tree.
Well, I mean, Shane Waldron was fine when he was with the Seahawks, not so much here.
Was he fine with the Seahawks? Because yeah, some people would tell you he wasn't fine when he was with the Seahawks.
But he was employed for multiple years, and guess who came off of that tree? Dave Canales, coaching to a very good game as an opponent of the Rams last week.
That is very fair, and that's one of those things where you look at, I think from a Bears standpoint, you're just trying to figure out, okay, we understand on paper they're probably better because the record says so. There's four teams left in the NFC. There's the Bears and the NFC West. Like that tells the story, does it not?
Pretty sure I called that one.
You did.
The NFC West was just, if you watched any of the games, every single one of them was very high scoring and exciting. I don't think this is going to be any different. And a lot of people have told us, thanks for giving us the heads up here on our text line, 312-644-6767. And Dustin Rhodes mentioned it on the morning show. The over-under has dropped to 49 now.
Why?
It was over 50.
I think some people had it at 51 and a half on Monday.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, maybe weather plays into that a bit, you know, with the weather being more accurate the closer we get to the date of the game.
Maybe so, but I think I'm going to take a shot at 49. The over, I'm saying.
No, I think that I rarely will just proclaim something like that on the air, but when you feel it in your bones that the over is going to hit, it's worth the sweat.
Well, they're going to feel something in their bones when they take the football field in those conditions on Sunday night, wherever the final low temperature ends up being.
How about Allen Robinson, by the way, detailing us yesterday what it's like to catch the ball as a receiver when it comes to notably cold temperatures?
Right.
And you know what's funny is when he said that, you know what I immediately thought of was how many times we were seeing attempts at peanut punches for that reason. When the ball's more slick, you can force a turnover better. Do you know what team I know knows how to force a turnover or two?
Is it the team that's overdue to force a turnover because they didn't for the first time all season in a win, the Chicago Bears?
Los Osos, but they still won the game, so that's good.
Yes.
But that's kind of the idea here is there are stops to be had. And for people who point out that, yeah, the Rams are once again the greatest show on whichever turf offensively, they still have ways to be stopped. And frankly, they've stopped themselves at times where you didn't think it was the likelihood. And knowing Matt Stafford for so many years, yes, that is part of it. However, at 37, he's in a career season. And that's what makes this so challenging. We are looking at the Spider-Man meme to end all Spider-Man memes on Sunday when you consider the play callers that Sean McVay and Ben Johnson are, when you consider the strengths of these offenses, and frankly, you know, some of the weaknesses of the defenses.
How much do you feel like the advantage goes to Sean McVay sheerly because of the experience of having gone to multiple Super Bowls, having been doing this for way more years than Ben Johnson has from a head coaching standpoint? Because it's easy to say Spider-Man meme when you're talking about offensive dynamics and play calling and all of that. But I feel like that's got to count for something. I'm just not sure how much weight it carries.
So here's the thing about that is I feel like with the Bears, take for example, the discussion that has really bloomed, and Kaylin Kaler was on this. She was on the afternoon show yesterday. Definitely recommend go back and listen if you didn't hear it. But the concept of changing your game plan because of the data you have. And that's what happened for the Bears. They ran for it on fourth down. They went for it more often because they knew that the Packers had, especially over the previous month, dominated time of possession. That includes the game against the Bears in week 16. So that said, you had a feeling, or the week 17, my bad. So that said, you have a feeling that you have to do this in order to be able to move the ball effectively. One of those fourths is going to hit. You're going to have to use that drive because you don't know when you're getting the ball back. And not because of your defense necessarily, but because that has been the style of the play calling and the drives that these Matt LaFleur teams had put together. So, that said, how does that strategy change this week? When it comes to the playoff aspect of it, I think the Bears' strategy arm is good enough to where it supersedes the playoffs not necessarily affecting these practices. I think if you establish best practices, similar to what we saw there, deploying your game plan regardless, then I have a feeling that playoffs are not going to change it that much just because it's the postseason. So I don't necessarily know if Sean McVay and his crew would change what they're doing so much so because of the postseason. Did you get that impression from the game against the Panthers last week?
No, I felt like they played it almost similar to the way they played it against the Panthers the first time, and they lost that game, by the way.
Well, and math may have done them a favor there, because what happens? The more times you see a team, the more often the outcome will happen that the better team will win the game.
Yeah, if you play a team once, the team that's worse has a better chance of winning than if you, say, play the game 100 times and expect the worst team to win more than 50% of the time.
Wow, we got another update on the under. At least this is from BetMGM. They just moved it again. I feel like we're on underwatch. Underwatch. So the over is now at 48.5. So it just moved off of 49. That according to 815.
I'm going to have to see where this lands and if this is weather driven or not when I get to talk to some meteorologists later today.
And we're going to talk to some meteorologists.
That is the plan.
Yes. So we have that in store for you later this week on Raheemy Harris and Grody. We broadcast live through the Scores Hyundai Studios. You just heard Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Raheemy. Our producers are Ray Diaz and Tyler Buterbaugh. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You can call us and text us 312-644-6767. We've gotten not only updates on the total, we've gotten updates on the Lil Wayne and Caleb Williams saga. So Wayne apologized to Caleb. That's what everybody's saying on Twitter. So that's good.
Oh, I got to see this.
And apparently, according to 414, Caleb responded to Wayne's apology. So thanks for that. We appreciate the heads up real time. Our Twitch mob does that as well. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. It is a show within a show on the chat. And we're on YouTube. Our address is 670 The Score, and our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, Cody Westerlin helping us out as well. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, we talked a lot about the two coaches. Well, what about the two quarterbacks? Our man Tyler Buterbaugh did a deep dive going years back, or at least a year back, on some of this audio that he found from Matt Stafford talking about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was also discussing the league's passing leader in Stafford. So we'll hear that next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.